Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Brought to you by Rick Weibel at RAW Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Go online to REWfinancial.com. Rick, by the way, was on this morning with Mark Lawrence. Great segment, by the way. I learned a lot. I mean, that's why I want you to give Rick a call. I know that, you know, this is the direction I know I need to go in as well. And he's the guy. Next up, we're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 14s are on the lots, and the Sunbury Motors sales staff, second to none. They want to get to know you, your budget, your needs, what fits your lifestyle, and what fits your wallet. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, Mike McGregor. Talk fantasy football tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Lauren Crispell, who joins Jack Hamm and me on the Penn State Sports Network tomorrow. Corey Geiger tomorrow as well. So we have a lot going on in tomorrow's show. And then we'll also briefly visit with Brittany Griswack, the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week in field hockey, who made an unbelievable save. It's been 46 days, by the way, since Penn State field hockey lost. They play at Iowa tomorrow night.
46 days?
46 days.
Wow.
Outstanding team, Char Moritz's team. We'll hear from her tomorrow as well. Kevin, let's get to the playoff picture in high school football. I know that Bob Buehner and I have had a lot of fun at your expense over the past month about, hey, tell us about the playoff picture. Come on, you know, it's only the third week. But now here, it's legit time. This is where it really comes into play. You've done a lot of research examining where everybody fits and who might get a home game and who might be on the outside looking in. How does it look on this October 24th to you?
Well, there's been a lot of years where I could feel confident as saying, yeah, there's a lock for at least a home game. Maybe not the number one seed, but at least a home game. And you know what? You can only say that really in double A and only for maybe the top two seeds. I mean, even in the smaller single A and triple A, you have Southern Columbia in the single A right now that only has a 40-point lead over Wellsboro, and both teams come into week 9 8-0. And that's, it's been a while since we've seen somebody be able to hang with Southern record wise in single A. Now, Southern has a matchup with Central Columbia, and Central has had a year where they're struggling a little bit. They're 3-5 on the outside looking in of double A. But when you look at Southern Columbia's bonus points there and everything that's available, that's a big game for Southern to win. Then you flip over to the other side and look at Wellsboro. Wellsboro comes in at 8-0 as well, and they have Towanda, who, by the way, has 5 wins on the season and are looking for a double A playoff spot. So all things being equal here, looking at week 9 alone, if both teams win, Southern and Wellsboro, you could be looking at almost a tie for the top spot in double A. Williamsport, I think, is probably the one team that you can say without a doubt will definitely be in the playoffs, but not necessarily a home game. And that's because they're sitting at 7-1 now and are about 70 points behind Wellsboro. So they need a little bit of help along the way to get a home game out of it. But South Williamsport has that outstanding running back, Bragalone, who's going to be well over 2,000 yards by the time the playoffs even get here. And then the final spot is still up for grabs in AA between Muncie and Bloomsburg. And Bloomsburg has an opportunity to get a lot of bonus points as well. They're playing AAA Danville, or actually AA Danville, And there's also 7 wins for Danville. So there's a lot of bonus points available in this game if Bloomsburg can do what they did last year and pull off a 2-point upset. And the biggest thing here is there's a longstanding award that goes with that. It's a trophy game. It's also the Pumpkin Bowl now as being part of Pumpkin Palooza in Danville. So there's going to be a lot of interest in Bloomsburg-Danville tomorrow night. And of course, Danville, when you look at the AA standing, sits second behind Montoursville, who they lost to a couple of weeks ago. So a very important game for Danville if they want a shot at the number one seed. When you look at AA as we have it right now, it's Montoursville at 8-0, followed by Danville about 130 points behind. And then there's a pretty big gap of about 210 points between Danville and Troy. And then the final spot that would get a home game would be Lewisburg. And this is an interesting setup here. Loyal Sock and Lewisburg match up Friday night. Loyal Sock is 5-3, Lewisburg at 2-6. Now, this game is going to be played at Susquehanna University because normally Lewisburg would play at Bucknell. Bucknell has homecoming this week, so they moved it to Susquehanna University on 100.9 The Valley Friday night. Lewisburg, as I said, needs a win to solidify a home game in the number 4 spot. Loyal Sock is 50 points behind them in the number 5 slot. So Loyal Sock with a win would leapfrog and then grab a home game as well. Now, Mount Carmel has Selins Grove. It's and Mount Carmel right now looking at the 6th slot, followed by Towanda and Mifflinburg, as I mentioned earlier. Now, the AAA, I know a lot of people kind of chuckle at AAA because of the way the records are, because their teams are right around 500, but it is a very competitive AAA bracket for the first year in a long, long time. Milton right now leads the way at 5-3. They're going to take on Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore is 2-6, but still holding the number 4 slot by just about 80 points over East Juniata. Believe it or not, Jersey Shore, with a little bit of help, could leapfrog and maybe even find themselves as high as potentially a home game. And Jersey Shore hasn't had a home game in short of forever, let alone a playoff game. So that'll be a big game for both Jersey Shore and Milton. Milton to solidify their spot, and Jersey Shore to possibly not only get in the playoffs, maybe even host a game. Selins Grove, as I said, takes on Mount Carmel. Pretty much a must-win for Selins Grove if they want a home game, because Shikellamy has Shamokin, and Shamokin has struggled this year under first-year head coach Yaakov Yisrael. But Shamokin has a new offense, and they've done a change at quarterback. Yost no longer the quarterback at Shamokin. They're going with McLaughlin, and he is able to run the option. And if you don't see the option very often, and quite honestly, in high school, you don't see the true option very often. You see a lot of midline option, but you don't see a lot of option. It can be a very, very difficult offense to try and stop. And Shikellamy will have a very big test on Friday night here on WKOK to solidify the third spot. So right now in AAA, it's Milton, Selins Grove, Shikellamy, Jersey Shore. In the AA, it is Southern, Wellsboro, Williamsport, Muncie, Bloomsburg. Bloomsburg right now and Muncie fighting out for that last spot. And in AA, it's Montoursville, Danville, Troy, Lewisburg. And then in the bottom 4 there, it's Loyal Sock, Mount Carmel, Towanda, and Mifflinburg. So that's the way things stand at the moment. As I said, this year has been a crazy year trying to look at who will be home come week 11, Steve.
Okay, here's the next part. Right now, which teams are at that cutoff line, and could there be a swing game down the stretch here?
Yeah, there could be. And that game could be, let's say, for Selins Grove next week, Selins Grove-Danville. If Selins Grove let's say, just for this discussion, Selins Grove loses to Mount Carmel and goes to 4-6 on this, or I'm sorry, 4-5 on the season. A win over Danville and all the bonus points could leapfrog them enough to get a home game and be the number 2 seed. That's just one example. I mean, that's and you could go and still win like Jersey Shore and still be on the road for the playoffs yet. Although, like I said, Jersey Shore, it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs, they don't care where they're playing.
Well, I mean, I ask you about the level of play that you've seen. What's the level of play been in high school football as you've watched Friday night to Friday night? I know you're locked into Shikellamy, but you see enough opponents along the way. Has this been a good year in terms of level of play?
I'm sorry, what's the level of play?
Has this been a good year in terms of level of play? I mean, I know you're locked into Schickelin, but you see enough other teams along the way. Has it been a good year in terms of level of play? Have you seen, for example, the youth programs that have really been in place now for the last 10, 15, 20 years pay off?
Well, I think that's exactly what you see at places like Southern Columbia especially. I mean, there's a team that is always a solid program, year in and year out, always in the hunt in single A, not only in the league, but in the district and statewide. And I think a lot of it has to do with their youth program. You know, they have two actual youth football programs there in the same league, Ralpho and also Catawissa. And then they merged those two teams together later on. You know, and they're always solid. They're always solid teams at the youth level. So they're playing the same systems all the way through. And another thing that you have to look at with a Southern, for example, they've been playing the same system for decades. I mean, it's been the same offense, the same defense. Kids have gone through at every level and played the same setup. There hasn't been coaching changes. There hasn't been. It's been very, very stable, and that's part of the success of a Southern Columbia. I think you could say that as well for Montoursville for so many years under Jim Bergen. And there were a couple of lean years for Montoursville, but now they're playing in a very much a consistent system up and down the from youth right on through to high school. And I think what makes Montoursville a little bit more difficult is the fact that they play so many different sets. It is really tough to defend that offense with the five or six different sets that you'll see. When you look at competitiveness up and down the league, I honestly think, and I said this when the season started, Steve, I thought that the Heartland Conference would be very, very competitive, and one of three teams could actually win it in Division One, and I felt that way in Division Two as well. And, boy, Danville kind of ran away with it and surprised everybody. Not with the fact that they ran away with it, but the fact that they ran past everybody along the way. I mean, that Heartland Conference was decided in Week 7. If you would have said that at the beginning of the year, I would have been very, very surprised because I thought Chicoutimi, I thought Sealands Grove, I thought Milton, and I thought Mifflinburg were all going to be in the hunt. But right now in Division One, you have Danville and then a logjam between Milton, Chicoutimi, and Sealands Grove. And Division Two is the same way. I think that was a very, very, I thought that was going to be a very, very tight league, and I think it's panned out to be that way. I think the more intriguing setup is, as we look at Week 9 and Week 10, how everybody falls into place as far as the district playoffs. I think that's going to be a better judge of how good each team is outside the league.
Well, it's that time of the year where it breaks down. Now you get Schickelamy tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, Schickelamy, Shamokin tomorrow night. And Shamokin, as I said, 0-8, but they have improved so much from Week One to now. And again, Yakov is trying to find the right mix there. You know, you try and bring in an offensive system and a defensive system that you're comfortable with, but you realize maybe you don't have the players to be able to do that, so you adjust to that. And I think that's what he's doing right now, is trying to find what adjustments they can make. And this game is always a big game for Shamokin. They always keep this game circled on the calendar, and they always feel that this can be the one to vault them into, you know, into a small winning streak. Now, it may not get you into the playoffs, but it sure will make it a lot easier to go into the offseason.
What's the state of Schickelamy right now?
They were really, really handled by Danville a week ago. Danville's right. Offense just, I mean, Weston Baylor threw for over 250 yards and basically played maybe 2.5 quarters of play. I mean, they got hit by big plays in the pass game, and that's something that hadn't happened much of the year. And the offense just could not get anything really going. A lot of three and outs, not much offense going after that first quarter of play. I think emotionally, when Danville hit the 77-yard pass to Tanner on the near sidelines to start the second quarter, I think the game was tied at 7 at that point, and that's where everything started to go downhill, and Schickelamy just went, wow, what just happened? Todd Tilford, though, and this coaching staff, on Monday, I guarantee you, and I have not heard, I have not talked to him yet, but I guarantee you they hit the reset button and they have not even bothered talking about that last game, and they've been looking at Shamokin because of what they have ahead of them. That game really means nothing now. It doesn't really hurt you in the playoff. You're still in a playoff hunt. You still have the hunt for a home game. Heck, you can still even win out and have a really good shot at home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So you look at that game and went, okay, we didn't play to what we can do. It's time to move to the next week.
Well, it's time for us to move to the next break. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. You know, it doesn't matter where you're located in the world. When you find somebody that is a gem, it doesn't matter if they're in New York, Philadelphia, or right here in the Valley. We're lucky to have a guy like Rick here in the Valley as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Ford Explorer Limited, like new, low miles, and Ford certified pre-owned, just $34,995. Clean Carfax and fully serviced 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, $11,487. This 2011 Ford F-150 XLT is one tough truck, but at a friendly price, $24,494. 2011 Dodge Nitro Heat. You'll be the second owner, just $17,995. And a gas-sipping 2012 Ford Focus with lots of remaining warranty, $12,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Well, if you don't have a handle on the high school playoffs, you're not a fan. Simple as that. Kevin was about as comprehensive as he could possibly be. I think putting the Steelers into the Valley playoffs, though, was actually, I think, kind of a low blow. But that's, you know, yeah. But obviously you're really feeling it lately.
I'll tell you, it's been a fun high school football season.
You know, I was listening to Steve Kerr today. And by the way, we're trying to get Steve Kerr on the show. And he said, you know what? He says, NBA starts next week on Tuesday. He said, the NHL's already going. The World Series is on right now. College football's in full swing. College basketball's practicing. High school football, he said, this is the greatest time of the year. I was drove off the road. I said, you don't understand. I said, the greatest time of the year is August when nothing's happening. I said, where there's an anticipation of what could happen, let alone living it.
Thanks. You had to remind me.
Let alone living it.
No, I knew what I meant. Everybody's got a shot come August. Week 9, not everybody has a shot anymore.
Yeah, but for those who love to watch, go, pay, buy tickets, this is the most exciting time. Watch a game on TV, it's the most exciting time of the year right now. That's why I feel very strongly, for example, college football should not have any buys in the month of October. Never. October is the most marvelous month to play football. There should never be a bye for anybody in the month of October. You want to give them a bye a week in November when it gets a little colder? I mean, I looked at the advanced forecast for Minneapolis for 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now? 30 degrees on game day. I looked at the advanced forecast for Madison. 30 degrees on game day. Okay? Well, I mean, it's going to be chilly at Ohio State Saturday night. It's going to be in the low to mid-40s. But October, I mean, you drive through, you just drive around right now. Just driving to a game is gorgeous. This is as beautiful as I've seen the countryside in Pennsylvania in my lifetime. I've never seen it prettier than right now. And you pull up on a with a crisp, cool Friday night or a crisp, cool Saturday with that little snap in the air, the concession stand, the buzz, the bands, and then the game is actually played. This is just great. Meanwhile, you're all excited about, you know, people in August going, I think we got a chance. I think we got a chance. You don't have a chance, okay? I saw your practice, saw your talent. You'll be out of it by September 15th. All right, so.
You know what I get asked a lot? If you could go to any game on Friday night, what game you go to each week? Somebody asked me that. And I looked at this week, and I'm like, well, Loyal Sock Lewisburg, Jersey Shore Milton, Selins Grove Mount Carmel. Yeah, I think I'd have to use my DVR an awful lot. There's a lot of good games this week.
Well, it's fun. And that's why this month is so much fun. I'm going to sit back, watch the World Series tonight, and tomorrow night I'll be in Columbus.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend.
Aloha.
That means goodbye. All right.
I like it because no one really knows if you're coming or going.
Well, I know people who listen to this show know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, tomorrow, we're going to talk about fantasy football tomorrow. How are you doing in your league?
Fourth.
What's your toughest decision every week?
My wide receivers are horrific. I mean, the toughest decision is who is actually going to play this week and who won't.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I have I think I have the right wide receiver core, the guys on the bench play better.
Wow. Well, I know I'm doing in my fantasy league.
I have a pretty good idea how you're doing in your fantasy league.
Feed up, enjoying the games.
Right.
But fantasy football has made a huge difference in the viewing habits and why NFL has red zone now. Because fantasy football means a lot to a lot of people. It has people engaged in games that they would never be engaged in before. So for the league, it's been terrific. And because, look, and again, this comes down to what the philosophy of the show happens to be. I don't play fantasy football, and I have no interest in fantasy football. But guess what? This is the audience's show, not my show. It's the audience's show. And because so many people in the audience play fantasy football, I make sure that we have on Mike once a month to talk about this. Right. Again, it's not an interest of mine. It's not something I get into, but a lot of you out there are into it. And because you are, I always like to bring him on once a month to give helpful hints. What's he looking for? Why? How? What's he doing? Because he's in a lot of leagues. He's actually from Canada, believe it or not. But he has a real deep feel for fantasy football playing, garnering points, and how to go about doing it. And that's why we have Mike on once a month.
Well, good.
It's the audience's show. It's your show. We try to make the show as interesting as possible for you. This is not me coming in here every day and saying, hey, well, where can I have some fun? Yeah.
Make sure you ask him if Danny Amendola will ever play football again.
Oh, for goodness sakes. He's not on the medical staff. I mean, come on.
Listen, I think I've played more NFL downs this year than Amendola has. I mean, come on. He gets hurt all the time. It's like these type of guys kill you in fantasy. Because it's like, okay, well, he's going to be in. He's active. You can't really drop him because he's going to be active for three plays.
Then cut him.
I can't. I have him under contract.
Put him on the waiver wire.
I have him under contract. It was a dumb contract move.
Yes, it was. 800-695. 800-795-7565. Jump in, give us a call. Love to hear from you. But that's where we're going to have Mike on tomorrow to talk about fantasy. And again, the reason why is, you know, So what if I don't play and have no interest in it? That's irrelevant. A lot of you out there do. So that's why we have them on.
You know what's really tough for fantasy football players anymore is the running back position.
Yeah.
Because there are very few running backs that get the majority of the carries like it used to be in football.
And then let's take Adrian Peterson. Got off to a great start and has not done much of anything the last 2 weeks. And now the Vikings are looking so bad, you're wondering, you know, how many yards he'll be able to get. The days of the Emmett Smiths are over
in this league. Exactly right.
And that's one of the things where, for example, I was interviewed by Sports Illustrated about Tyler Gaffney of Stanford. And you're saying, why would they interview you about Tyler Gaffney of Stanford? Because he played minor league baseball here at State College last year. And he was the center fielder. So they wanted to do a feature on him being somebody who made a choice, gave it a shot, then was given a second chance to play college football. And eventually in the interview, they asked me about where I saw him 5 years from now. And I said, 5 years from now, I see him playing baseball. Because the Pirates will still keep him in the organization. I said, 5 years from now, I see him playing baseball. And the reason is this. The average shelf life of an NFL running back is 3.4 years. And NFL running backs are a dime a dozen right now, from the college level to the pro level. Toby Gearhart, who was the tailback at Stanford before Tyler Gaffney, was outstanding. But yet, look where he's been. He's been a situational back in the NFL. He's made good money, but he's been no better than a situational back. I think I see Tyler Gaffney in baseball 5 years from now, because I think either his NFL career will be over, or else he'll look at this and say, you know what, long term, this is my best shot. But I also pointed out that between being a football player, a baseball player, and having a Stanford degree, his future 5 years from now is going to be set.
He might be in good shape.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but that was the gist. We talked about him. You know, they probably interviewed me for about 20 minutes. I know that I saw the clip. I saw the piece. It was a 6-minute piece on him that SI.com did. And several things I talked about were in there. But I mean, that's what I see, and that's the running back position right now in college football, how it relates to the NFL. I look at, for example, the young man Penn State will face Saturday night in Columbus, Carlos Hyde. That is an NFL back. That is a downhill, get out of my way, throw people out of the way, get it done, first and second down back in the NFL. Carlos Hyde will be a good, he won't be a great one, but he'll be a good NFL running back. But who else out there is there? Who's the dominant running back out there? Down the road, I think T.J. Yeldon of Alabama can be a really good running back.
But I don't know if NFL offenses are featuring one running back situations anymore.
Well, Yeldon, though, can be that a running back like that. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield, and I think he can bring something to the table on first and second down as well. I think Yeldon's really, really good. But there aren't that many out there.
You know, the days of the Roger Craig, sorry to interrupt you, but the days of the Roger Craig are gone.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he's a guy that could run the ball and then would stay in on third down and go out for a pass.
Sure.
They're gone.
Most teams do use a one-back set, though. I mean, if it turns out that guy's all three downs, then great.
Yeah, there's not many of them.
No, there are not many of them. There's no question about that. There are very few of them in the league. Adrian Peterson's an every down back. Okay, understand that. But it's really changed. It comes down to who's the quarterback. And you're looking at, you know, will Johnny Manziel come out this year? Marcus Mariota is going to be, I think, an outstanding NFL quarterback. The kid from Oregon. I think he's going to be really good. I think A.J. McCarron has a shot at the next level to be good. I think Zach Mettenberger has a shot to be good at the next level. I think Aaron Murray has a shot to be good at the next level. In the Big Ten, you know, as I've tried to point out repeatedly, the Big Ten is not the cradle of quarterbacks. Braxton Miller, far more accurate, and I think if he's improves like this next year, then maybe he, for the first time in my career, I'll concede that maybe he does have a shot at the next level if he makes even more improvement next year. He's not there yet. Taylor Martinez? No. Nate Sudfeld of Indiana? Definitely a possibility. Devin Gardner? No. Okay. Simeon, the quarterback of Northwestern, might get a look. But Christian Hackenberg? Taught right and could be cable ready.
Well, we hear a lot about these quarterbacks that are mobile, and then, of course, the quarterbacks in the NFL that have run, you know, read option and midline option and that sort of thing. I think the one thing I think back to the times that quarterbacks were running wishbone. Nobody looked at those quarterbacks in the NFL because they didn't seem to throw the ball enough to see what they could do. These guys that are running these midline option and running the read option, they're throwing the ball a lot more often than the wishbone quarterbacks would be. So you get a good view. It's okay, that quarterback has some good feet. He's got some movement, but he throws the ball really, really well. And I think that's one of the differences now in scouting quarterbacks that don't primarily throw the ball that did maybe 30 years ago.
Maybe. I think that they threw the Robert Griffin III, for example, threw the ball a lot at Baylor.
Sure.
I mean, he threw the ball a lot at Baylor. Oliver Luck's a traditional quarterback. Tannehill's a converted wide receiver. Russell Wilson was nothing but a pocket quarterback, but a pocket quarterback who could move. He did not run the option at NC State or at Wisconsin.
But I don't think it's going to be a negative to be able to run this new version of the option in the NFL as it was wishbone.
Kevin, who's running the option in the NFL in 2013?
No. I don't mean it that way. It's not going to be a negative to the quarterback.
Hold on. Who's running the option in 2013 in the NFL?
Well,
have you noticed this year that offense has been shelved?
It's not a lot. No, it's not as much as it was. Anyway.
It's been shelved because now people know what to do with it.
Well, but my point was from the quarterback standpoint. You know, if you were in an offense that was running the wishbone, you could forget being drafted in the NFL. But if you're in an offense running a lot of pistol and a lot of option that way, you still have a chance to show your arm.
There aren't a lot of people running the offense you're talking about. I mean, most of these guys can throw the ball. Aaron Murray's a dropback quarterback. Zach Mettenberg is a dropback quarterback. A.J. McCarron's a dropback quarterback. Johnny Manziel is an improviser, but he doesn't run the option. Okay, Texas A&M does not run the option. Right? And I think Manziel might come out. I mean, but those are your top-line quarterbacks right now. And Marcus Mariota can run the option, no question, but he is an NFL. I mean, he is. I think he might tear the league up when he gets in there. I think he's got a real shot at doing that. But these are not, you know, Mariota runs the option. The other guys don't do it. They don't do it. Jameson Winston, who's not eligible for the draft yet, is a fabulous quarterback. And you know what makes him fabulous? It's not the fact that he can run the option once in a while. He's accurate throwing the football. A guy that I have questions about is Taj Boyd.
Do you think sometimes the spread, the read option gets a lot confused with the fast pace offenses?
No, I just think that I don't.
All right.
Marcus Mariota is in a fast paced offense, and yeah, I watch him throw the football. I look at his feet, I look at his arm, I look at his accuracy, and I go, like. You know, in fact, he has some mobility as a plus. But the kid at UCLA is a good pocket quarterback. You know, a lot of these guys that are successful are pocket quarterbacks, you know.
But what I'm asking is the read option and a fast-paced offense, are they one and the same, or don't they, or are they not anymore? It used to be the only time you see these fast-paced offenses were the ones running the spread and read option.
No, you have Penn State runs a fast-paced offense, and I don't think you see Christian Hackenberg using the read option. I mean, yeah, I did. It's simple as that.
No, I agree with you. I think.
I don't think that even enters into it.
Okay.
At all. I think they've put in fast-paced offenses with the idea of not running the read option. They put in fast-paced offenses because they're trying to put the defense on its heels and keep their substitutions down to a minimum and have them guessing in a shorter period of time.
How long will it be before the defenses catch up to stuff like that, though? I mean, there's always a time period of
not on this. Okay, it can backfire on you, and we saw it backfire a couple times in the Indiana game for Indiana because I pointed it out that they go a three and out, and only 28 seconds goes off the clock. We're like, okay, well, that was a great possession, but if you're going to run plays at a 13 to 20 second clip. You know, the bottom line is you have to have talent. You have talent, defense is not going to stop that. There's not. But it comes down to talent more than anything else. And what's happened is that, Kevin, you've seen, here's the trend. Joe Paterno had a theory. I'm going to put my best athletes on defense first, special teams next, then the offense will work on, and you know, certain people, that no matter what, we're going to shift them over to defense. But still, they came. If there was a choice between one or the other, defense would probably get the first choice. You are now looking in college football at 123 Division I programs. All 123 have the same philosophy. I want my best players and athletes on offense. And it turns out you run the read option, you run the read option. But the quarterbacks we're talking about that are potential next-level quarterbacks, except for Mariota, they aren't, you know, huge read option guys. I mean, and Mariota, I think, is the best prospect of them all, to be frank with you. I think Mariota's the best prospect out of all the guys I talked about. Better prospect in my mind than Manziel, McCarron. Now, the next best prospect I've seen, and he's a redshirt freshman, not a true freshman, is Winston from Florida State. Wow. Everyone knows how I feel about Hackenberg, but I think I'm not going to throw him into the mix after just six games. And after being on campus for how many months? Winston had a whole year of practices last year, and a spring ball, and a camp, and now he's playing. Winston still has one more year before he's eligible to come out. So, we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You know, one thing in days gone by, Kevin and I were talking about this in the break. Teams that, for example, Bill Yeoman ran the Veer at Houston, Alabama for a long time ran the Wishbone, Oklahoma ran Wishbone, Texas ran Wishbone. Alabama ran option, but they ran Wishbone in Texas and Oklahoma. You think of the quarterbacks that they've had, though. Jack Mildren, James Street, Brown, Jeff Rutledge even to a point. I mean, they weren't good enough throwers of the football. They were glorified running back. Rex Kern, they were glorified running backs playing quarterback. I mean, they couldn't throw the ball to save their soul. The only time they would hit a big pass play is that you'd be so shocked that they were throwing the ball, you went, oh, man, you got to be kidding me, really?
It'd be like hitting a halfback pass.
Exactly.
The whole defense would be playing the run.
That is exactly right, Kevin. That's exactly right. Now, the difference is today is that these offenses now, even though they have quarterbacks that can move, they still need a guy that can throw the football.
But I think what makes these offenses so dangerous is the fact that you're spreading everybody out and you do have a quarterback that can move, or you have a running back that's not a power back, but he's a scat back that can really move and have quick turns. And boy, that just makes it really tough on especially inside linebacking.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. And again, teams are putting their better athletes on offense now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think that's been a big thing that you've seen now. It used to be, you know, you're built around, you know, it's no longer one, you know, we won with our defense. I mean, even Alabama now. Alabama's had some really good defenses. really good defenses under Nick Saban.
This is not a great Alabama defense.
Okay? This year. Not by their past standards, not by now.
They just outscore everybody.
Exactly.
Remember when you used to say, if you have time of possession, you'll win the game. Yeah. It's not that way anymore in most games.
No, it's not. I still think there's something to that, though, Kev. I still think that keeping, you know, making your defense play extended minutes is not good. Not good at all.
Well, here, let me give you an example. If you look at this weekend's game, Bucknell and Lehigh, Lehigh probably won't win time of possession. But that's because of the type of offense they want. They right. run. But if Bucknell wins time of possession, they win the game. Because that keeps Lehigh off the field. Or Lehigh's offense, actually, off
right.
the field.
Sure. I mean, no question. I mean, Lehigh is certainly a high-octane team that wants to run 90 plays in a game. Okay, so it's a question of controlling tempo in the game. But you asked me how long it'll take for defenses
right.
to adjust
right.
to adjust to the fast pace. Number one, there are people now desperate about this where they're asking for rules changes. I am adamantly against a rule change. I'm sorry that they give you 40 seconds. If I want to snap the ball at 39, that's my option. If I want to snap it at 2, it's my option. But once that clock starts, you can snap the ball. And I think any rule change like that would be absolutely wrong. You know, put your 11 guys out there in defense. Play ball. Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, our sponsor today. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484.